Vaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Narada instructs the Pachetas, Text 23. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Prachetaso Raja Anyash Cha Bhagavat Kata Shravayitva Brahma Lokam Yayao Swayambhuvo Mudahi. Maitreya Uvacha Iti Prachetaso Rajan Anyascha Bhagavat Kataha Shravayitva Brahma Lokam Yayao Swayam Bhuvo Munihi. Maitreya Uvacha Iti prachetaso rajan Anyascha bhagavat kataha Shravayitva brahma lokam Yayao swayam bhuvo munihi. Maitreya uvacha Iti prachetaso rajan Anyascha Bhagavat Kataha Shravayitva Brahma Lokam Yayao Swayam Bhuvo Munihi. Vaishnavis, Jaya Vacha, Kipa Cheta Sorajan, Anyascha Bhagavat Kata, Tabitva Brahma Lokam, Yasamabhavani, Vacha, Thank you. Rabbi Yitzhak Brahma Lokam. Namdhamuni. Vachayo Vacha. Nipacheta Sorajam. Anyascha Bhagavat Kata. Shavayadva Mahalokam. Naya Swayam Bhava Muni. Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said. Iti. Thus. Pracheta Saha. The Prachetas. Rajan. O King. Anyaha. Others. Cha, also. Bhagavad Kataha. Topics about the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shravayatva. After instructing. Brahmalokam. To Brahmalokam. Yayao. Went back. Swayambhuvaha. The son of Lord Brahma. Munihi, the great sage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya continued. My dear King Vidura, Sri Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, thus described all those relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the Prachetas. Afterward, he returned to Brahmaloka. Purport. One has to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a pure devotee. The Prachetas got this opportunity from the great sage Narada, who told them of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. A Vaishnava Mukhodgir Nam, the Acharyas say, we shouldn't hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His relationships with His devotees from Avaishnavas, those who are not Vaishnavas, because that process is compared to Sarpochista Yatopayam, taking milk that is touched by the lips of a serpent. You know, milk is a good thing, but if it's touched by the lips of a serpent, according to the Vedic understanding, then it turns into something poisonous or harmful. So we're very fortunate that we've all had, you know, the opportunity to learn about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and His devotees from the lips of a pure devotee, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And in that way, we have some hope of making some actual spiritual advancement, because we're hearing about these things. We're hearing about the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and the relationships He has with His devotees, and the process for attaining ourselves these kinds of relationships from a pure devotee. These books are the, Srila Prabhupada described them as his personal ecstasy. So by reading these books, we have a chance to enter very, you know, deeply into these understandings in a proper way. So what are, you know, the relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The very first relationship, the very first thing to understand is that no matter what relationship one has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's in the the mood of service. Jivara, Srupahoy, Krishnara, Nitya Das. In this statement by Lord Chaitanya, we learn that the constitutional position of every living entity is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. It means there's only one controller. Everyone else is Krishna's servant. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you know, explains this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, explaining that even all the expansions of Krishna, the other incarnations of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, the goddesses of fortune, all Lord Balaram, they're all in a mood of service to Krishna. So what to speak of us, tiny conditioned souls. So we're also servants of Krishna. But this service can be expressed in different moods or tastes or rasas. And we learn there's the mood of Shanta Ras, passive adoration. And beyond that, Dasya Rasa, the mood of active service. Beyond that, the mood of Sakya Rasa, which means friendship, in which there's some kind of equality. Of course, if we study the very detailed descriptions of this rasa and the nectar devotion, we can see there are friends of Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence, such as his friends in Dwarka, like Arjuna. And then there is friendship in the mood, more spontaneous mood, like Krishna's friends in his Vrindavan pastimes, his cowherd boyfriends, some of them whom behave with him in a very free way. You know, they fight with him, they play games, they in a way that Arjuna didn't do. You know, we see in Bhagavad Gita sometimes Arjuna is apologizing to Krishna for behaving in a too familiar way. So this mood of friendship can be in the mood of awe and reverence or in a more spontaneous mood. And then beyond that, there is the parental rasa, the vatsalya rasa. And again, if we study a little deeply in the nectar of devotion, which Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given us, we can see there's a mood of service that we don't talk about too much, but it's the mood of serving Krishna as a son or daughter. Just like in Dwarka, Krishna has his sons and daughters, and they behave with him in that way. And then Krishna has his devotees, these elderly devotees who behave as his father and mother, either in Dwarka or in Vrindavan. And this includes not only Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, but other elderly devotees in Vrindavan and Dwarka who feel a protective mood towards Krishna. And then finally there's the Madhurya Rasa, which again exists in two varieties. The married and unmarried love. In Dwarka, Krishna has his queens who display this married love towards him, and then in Vrindavan, Krishna has his cowherd girlfriends who display unmarried love. So there's Swakya and what's the other one? Parakya. Swakya and Parakya rasas. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we go through it, we're learning about these different relationships that it's possible to have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the ultimate goal of human life. The ultimate goal of human life is to understand, you know, I am a servant of Krishna, first of all. And then beyond that, to understand exactly what kind of servant of Krishna, you know, I am. And if we follow the process given to us by our pure devotee founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, then gradually all of these things become revealed. And just like if you put, you know, a pot of water on the stove, if you leave it there long enough, it will boil. Of course, if you wonder, well, it hasn't boiled yet, so maybe I should just take it off or try something else, then, of course, you won't get the result. So we have to follow the process with patience, and eventually we'll get the result. But part of the process is to hear about the different relationships that it's possible to have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here we're learning how the Prachetas heard about the different relationships it's possible to have with the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Narada Muni. So, I mean, these days, you know, in the aftermaths of the election, a lot of people are talking about government and things like that, you know, how the government's going to run. But the way that we judge the, you know, actual success of a government in terms of our Krishna consciousness philosophy is how many souls make advancement going back home, back to Godhead. That's how you actually judge, you know, the success of the government. So, you know, I was reading in another part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says a king, if he's very fortunate and ruling properly, he gets 1/6 of the pious results of the citizens. So it's kind of interesting that in countries all over the world now, there are temples of the Krishna consciousness movement where the Sankirtan Yajna is being performed. You know, for example, all over the United States, the Sankirtan Yajna is being performed. And prasadam is being distributed, transcendental literatures are being distributed, the holy name is being chanted, festivals are being held like Ratha Yatra. So, this is actually quite auspicious, you know, for the governments, as long as they don't interfere with these things and, you know, they don't try to stop them. It's actually a bit auspicious for them. It means things are, they're going to get some of the result of the transcendentally pious activities that the devotees are performing. So this is actually quite good for them. Unfortunately, they don't understand these things perfectly. If they actually understood these things perfectly, they would be helping the devotees a lot more in every possible way. Unfortunately, now many of the government leaders, what they're doing consciously is promoting gambling, you know, all over the country now. The different governments have decided, well, we can get some tax money from gambling, and therefore they're opening casinos everywhere. And unfortunately, they're still promoting all kinds of intoxication. And unfortunately, they're all still promoting meat eating. They really don't understand the harmful effects of meat eating, both in terms of karma and in terms of ordinary health, you know, how bad it really is for people, how bad it is for them. And they're also, you know, promoting illicit sex. You know, I've heard that the pornography industry is going to make a request to the government. Just, you know, the government is bailing out so many industries. So the pornography industry is asking the government for $5 billion to help out, prevent them from going down. So So the conscious things, you know, that the governments are doing are actually leading people in the wrong direction. Leading people more and more into sinful life, which is very bad for them in terms not only of what's going to happen to them in this life, but what's going to happen to them in the next lives. So that, you know, you'd have to give, I mean, the only good thing we could say, the only fortunate thing, the only positive thing we can say is somehow or other the Krishna consciousness movement is in this country and so many other countries, and this is actually helping people go closer to the goal of entering into one of these relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the perfection of any government. You know, the perfection of any government is, you know, are we protecting our citizens, you know, from death? Not just death from, you know, ordinary criminals or from war, but death in general. Only the Krishna consciousness movement can lead people to real freedom from death, to real security, to a place where there's no anxiety, Vaikuntha. So this is, so right now they only get some agyata sukriti. You know, they get some benefit they really don't deserve, except for the fact that they're not interfering, they're not trying to crush the Krishna consciousness movement. So they get some, the governments get some agyata sukriti from the fact that we're here helping people achieve the real goal of life. So understanding these, you know, relationships is very important. And sometimes the lessons can come to people in indirect ways. Just like sometimes Krishna disguises himself, or the demigods, you know, disguise themselves. I was reading the story of King Ranti Dev. And he was a pious king. And he was fasting. He fasted for 48 days. And then he was going to take some food with his family members. And then a Brahmin came to the door. So he gave some of the food to a Brahmin. And then a Sudra came to the door, and he gave more of the food to the Sudra. And then a man with some dirty dogs, you know, came to the door and asked for food. So he gave all the remaining food to the dogs and their owner. And then finally a Chandala came, and all he had left was the water. And the Chandala said, please give me some water. So the king gave all the water to the Chandala, and he had nothing left. So this is what a Kshatriya is supposed to do. He's supposed to give charity. So it turned out that the Brahmana, the Sudra, the man with the dogs, and the Chandala were actually demigods. You know, Brahma, Shiva, you know, they had come, these demigods had come to test, you know, this king. And he passed the test. So, again, we might think, well, yes, if Krishna appeared before me, you know, in his, you know, forearm form with lotus flower and conch shell and everything, well, yes, I do what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes, you know, we have to learn to do what we're supposed to do the Krishna conscious thing, even without, you know, these big revelations, because it can just be a test for us. So, this verse here, it's very instructive. I'll read it again. My dear King Vidura, Sri Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, thus described all those relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the Prachetas. Afterward, he returned to Brahmaloka. Does anybody have any questions or comments? comments. Yes.
If a television reporter will ask a Hare Krishna devotee, if you will have to vote, which party of the government do you think will suit or will satisfy your needs, the closest one, which will be the, in order to be politically correct, if you want to give an answer, what will be, that is the closest to your needs as a religion, that it wasn't hamper your teachings?
Well, see, we have to be very careful in this country because they have certain laws. Like, we're a religious corporation, and the federal government has certain laws about what you're allowed to say and not allowed to say, say in a situation like this. You're not actually allowed, as a representative of a religion, speaking from a position like this, to recommend a vote for a particular party or particular candidate. So we have to be careful about these things, because your tax-exempt status can be revoked and things like that. So speaking as a representative of a religious organization in this kind of situation in this country, I'm really not allowed to say that. As a private citizen, you know, members of the Krishna consciousness movement can of course, you know, do these things. I would say that, you know, we should look at the principles that a candidate talks about and make a decision whether they're in harmony with our principles or not. And this can lead to some difficult, you know, decisions. But, you know, in our country here, you know, religious leaders are not allowed to campaign, you know, politically, you know, for, you know, as, you know, in situations like this. So, you know, we have to be careful about these things. We can find, for example, that political leaders of one party may be in favor of things that are in line with our religious principles, like they may be against abortion, for example. I mean, things like this have to be considered. Others may, it may seem they're more for freedom of religion than other parties. So, you know, these are, you know, difficult decisions. And, you know, I would say each member of our movement, if they want to vote, they have to carefully consider these things. If, yes, Swabas. Yeah. So, so they can be, you know, difficult, you know, decisions. And, but speaking, you know, officially as a representative of a religious body in a temple, I mean, we have to be aware of the laws that relate to these things. So, awesome.
Yeah, you know, when you think about government, when we're hearing it from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it really does appear as if they were like genuine rulers, or they had real power. Whereas, if you take a look at the king, like at the King of England or the Queen of England, they're more or less a figurehead. And those individuals that are in power, you see the government. Like, for instance, even in America, you see that there is a president But the question always is, does he really have the kind of power that a normal citizen thinks he does? Where in reality, it may be that the real power brokers of a country like America are, let's say, the bankers, or let's say the corporations, or, you know, self-interested parties like that who have, you know, a lot of power in order to sway the economy. Like, for instance, like we know that the Republican Party got smashed, at least I say this, because of their not being able to control the economy. Everybody's losing their job. Your dollar's not worth anything. Oil prices are way out of skyrocket. When you analyze that, the government really couldn't do much about that. But the real power brokers were the people that had the financial you know, power in this so-called democracy. And the government is simply there more or less as a figurehead. They don't really have the power that we think they do.
Well, in that case, if one thinks like that, then we should try to influence those who we believe have the actual power to do things. I mean, Srila Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he intends this book to be a guide for the actual leaders and thinkers of society. So whoever those happen to be, you know, on any level, this Srimad Bhagavatam has information that they need. Because, I mean, specifically on the economy, you know, Srila Prabhupada said it's all based on a false principle, so therefore it's never going to work out. He said an actual economic system should be based on gold used as a medium of exchange, not even a, because otherwise, he said, everything's based on a lie. It's based on, for example, if you have even a gold-based or silver-based currency, which we used to have. You know, we used to have, you know, on a dollar bill, it used to be printed, the U.S. government or Treasury will pay on demand, you know, to the bearer, you know, $1 worth of gold or silver or something. But Prabhupada said even that's not right, because the governments never have enough money. Like if everybody were to turn in their dollar bills to be exchanged for gold or silver, there's not enough gold or silver in the reserve. So he said, actually, the economy should be based on a gold coin, and that's it. And that would really incredibly shrink the economy. There'd be much less money in circulation. And actually, the economy is based on producing thousands of things people really don't need. You know, So Srila Prabhupada actually wanted research done into what an actual Vedic economy should be like. And this information should gradually be communicated to the actual leaders of society, and then maybe some of them would take it up. But all that, I mean, a true Daiva Varnashram Vedic civilization does two things. It helps people arrange for their material necessities in the most simple, efficient, and natural way, but more importantly, provides a platform for them to achieve the actual goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. So if governments really wanted to know how to provide the basic necessities for people in the most simple, efficient, and natural way, they would follow the principles. And then, but why? Why make simple natural life? So people can be free to put most of their human energy into developing their Krishna consciousness. Okay, quarter after. I'm trying to be exemplary. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.